I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. I'm joined today by Mark. Robin is, well, now he's sleeping, isn't he, in Singapore at the moment, but he's having a nice earned vacation, possibly. So you get the dynamic duo, let's call it that. I will call the A2 team.
as in the one who's not quite as good as Robin but is available. So that's what you'll take. That's the one. Do you know what, Matt? I'll take that. It's fine. I'm happy enough.
But
I'm like the Bills offense at the moment.
What, hit and miss? Hot and cold.
At the very best.
Hot and cold, hit and miss, up and down.
Generally should be doing better than it is.
Yeah.
Flatters to deceive. Has got the odd decent moment, but yeah. generally still like a little bit crap.
Yes. And I think we were, all three of us, I think, on the last show, actually were a bit generous and a bit kind on the results, I think.
I mean, we should, that's how, that if our team plays as well as it can do, I think our results are what should have happened. I think everyone was expecting off the back of the London game where we were offensively a bit crap. Everyone was like, I'll be back home. This is going to be a get right game. We're going to, you know, the offense is going to come out, show who they are against a team that's got a backup quarterback playing and an offensive line that literally some of them were like not
getting off the couch.
Didn't have a team a week ago. And for some reason, they more than held their own against us. And I think if we're honest, we got very, very lucky in this game, both through
bad game management
by the Giants, and then a not insignificant slice of help from the officials on the last play of the game either. I'm not having anybody tell me that wasn't DPI.
Well, it could both ways, to be honest.
If that was us attacking, we'd be savage that wasn't given.
Yeah.
But it's you know, as these things go, you win some, you lose some in that regard. And we've had plenty of occasions over the years where we've had calls that should and shouldn't have been given against us. So I'll take it. I'm quite happy. We were owed a little bit of luck, but as a team offensively, we were dog shit again.
Mm. I think it's like they say, you always have to win. If you can win ugly is better than winning comfortably. Sometimes it shows the tenacity of this of the defense to actually, or the offense and the team to actually try and win the dirty games and the tough games, even though against that Giants team with an offensive line which was chopping and changing. I think they said they were in their like fifth or sixth different combination.
Yeah.
Just for that game, you would have thought that we would have a complete and utter sack fest. I mean, was it Seattle put 10 or 11 sacks on them?
They were the most sacked team in the NFL, and we had the most sacks in the NFL going into this game.
And we only ended up with three.
We got three. And it was like, you know, Justin Pugh, who was playing left tackle, had played five games at left tackle in his entire career. And the last one was 6 years ago.
Mm.
And he'd been a Giant for like 8 days.
Yeah.
While I get it and I get that that's a criticism, defense again for the second week in a row wasn't the issue.
It
would be great to get more pressure on the quarterback. And I do think that there's probably some of those sacks are a bit of an element of that Tyrod Taylor clearly knew that his offensive line was going to be a little bit paper thin, and he was getting the ball out as quick as he possibly could. And it was a decent game plan. It worked. Lawrence did the same thing a week before. In the first half at least, they picked on the same corner that the Jaguars picked on. They were going after Kyer Elam, who kind of, to be fair to him, sort of held his own a little bit in the second half.
Yeah.
He was certainly improved. But for the second week in a row, defense bailed us out. Josh said as much in his post-game interview, where he looked a little bit broken. And he looked a little bit like, I just want to go home. He knows he isn't, and the offense isn't playing well. But you can't blame this one on London. You can't blame this on traveling. This is just.
They came back on the Sunday, so they came in on the Monday.
Yeah,
they had pretty much a whole week to actually to get used to it. And you see how did Jags get on? They won. Did they win? Jags.
The Jags did win. Yes,
the Jags won. Obviously Atlanta lost the week before they came back. They came over.
Yeah, and then lost this weekend as well.
Yeah, so you can't. It's not really something that you can say. You just say you could blame on London all that. Obviously, nope. it feels like the Bills were left in London. The fact that offense was so dire and slow, and seemed to be more one dimensional than anything else.
Yeah, it feels like since there was all the noise about Stefon Diggs and like that his beef with whoever he had his beef with during the off season when there was, you know, he wasn't at training camp and all that going on. It feels like the response is sort of, you know, he will get more targets than the rest of the offense put together.
Yeah.
But throwing the ball to Stefon Diggs can't be our entire offense. Now I get that there is an argument that you're targeting him that much because he's the only guy that's getting open. And despite the fact that offenses are like double and triple teaming him with safety help and linebacker help wherever Stefon Diggs is lined up. So the question, I guess, is this either a scheme just to basically utilize Diggs because he is by far your best offensive weapon outside of Josh Allen? Or is it that the rest of the receiving core are playing so poorly in terms of getting separation that they can't get targets because they're covered?
Yeah.
If that's the case, then that's a serious problem because our entire offense moving forward, it seems to be at the minute that fucking dreadful shotgun draw run play that doesn't work, or it's hope to God that Stefon Diggs gets open.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because Josh isn't running the ball anymore for whatever reason. Gabe Davis seems to get open twice a game. Dawson Knox seems to get open twice a game and can't catch it when he does get open. Dalton Kincaid missed this one, obviously, with concussion, but isn't getting targeted.
Yeah.
We seem to be lacking that Cole Beasley type. That guy who was a reliable, gets open from the slot, is always available, and Josh knows that if he throws in the ball, he's going to, like, 9 times out of 10, he's going to catch it. He doesn't seem to have that option at the moment. And I kind of assumed that that's what Dalton Kincaid was going to be. But Dalton Kincaid is not getting his 8 or 9 targets like Cole Beasley was getting, and it makes us really predictable. And I don't know, it's like, I don't know how you fix it. I can't work out if this is just the offense being in a bit of a rut and not being able to get enough of a rhythm. Is it the play calling? And I do think that I still kind of assume that we're going to get to a point where eventually either the season will splutter out and we won't get going, and we'll make the playoffs, but not get very far. And this will just continue being a theme
Yeah.
Dorsey will get the bullet and we'll bring in an offensive coordinator who knows what the fuck he's doing. And all of a sudden we'll be like, oh, so this is what proper offenses do. But I'm hoping that they figure it out and they work out what they need to do. But it feels a mile away at the moment. And what I don't understand is what's happened to the offense that put 40-odd points on the Dolphins? Whereas that, and I know that their defense isn't great, but neither's the Giants, and yet we didn't do anything.
I think I don't know. I was watching when he actually making the throws. On certain occasions, it looked like that Allen was only looking for Diggs.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you look at the receptions for all the wide receivers that actually caught passes. Diggs 10, Gabe Davis 3, Dawson Knox 3, Morris, Shakir, Harty 1.
Yeah,
obviously Davis had the fumble on there, which I need to get back and on there and see if it actually was him or if it was a case that.
It was punched out. It was him. It was on Gabe Davis. There was you've got to have better ball security than that. But the crucial thing for me though is that it's targets. Stephon Diggs targeted 16 times. The rest of the team who was targeted was 13.
Yeah.
So is it just that? And like Stephon Diggs averaged 10 yards a catch. He's like he was amazing again, but it gets really, really obvious when you're only throwing it to one guy.
And exactly.
And is it because he's getting targeted because, like, Allen knows that he's going to be available, he's going to be open, or is he losing trust in people like Gabe Davis to make the plays? I know that he's really good mates with Dawson Knox, but him and Dawson Knox have never had that spark that him and Diggs had, that him and Cole Beasley had, and I hate continuously mentioning Cole Beasley because he's clearly a bit of an idiot. But him and Josh Allen had a connection.
Yeah,
it just kind of worked. Him and Dawson Knox don't have that. There's been some good splash plays, but 3 catches for 17 yards on 6 targets, that ain't going to get done. And the one that really highlighted it for me was that one in the fourth quarter where you get yourself into a position where you can like build on the lead that you've got. And it was what should have been a really easy throw. And it wasn't a great throw by Allen. It was like around his knees, wasn't brilliant. And Josh is doing that a little bit at the moment. His ability to hit players, except for Stephon Diggs, it seems, but other players, for whatever reason, it feels rushed. It doesn't feel natural. There was guys against the Jags that he overthrew. There was like this one against the Giants for Knox where it was too low. But Dawson Knox has still got to bring that catch in.
Yeah.
He's got to bring that catch in. And it's not long after that that he throws the interception. And then all of a sudden, they're on the attack again and should score. And
Could you then put it down to the play callings? I mean, I said this on, obviously I tweet from the account all the time, that they're more than successful when he's either in under center or play action. And yet there are times where he's still in shotgun and you can clearly see that you have one under center play gets you a decent amount of yards and the next play you're in shotgun and it gets you minimal yards. Is it play calling and that Dorsey needs to try and incorporate more and get him a bit more varied rather than just doing, we're in this, back to this, back to this, back to this, back to this. Maybe throw in a series through of under center, then mix it up a bit. But I mean, it came out that he's like the third best offensive coordinator in the league at the moment.
But what's that judged on? Third best offensive coordinator based on what? Based on the fact that he happens to have a brilliant quarterback and Stephon Diggs in his ranks. In terms of the play calling, I don't think he's top half. And yeah, I think you're right. I think I made the point after the Jets game where he was the yards per gain that he's getting when he's under center or doing play action was off the scale. It was the same against the Jags. He had five passes under play action and they all went for more than, I think, more than 10, 12, 11 yards. When he goes into shotgun all the time, it restricts the plays that are available. It makes it obvious what we're going to do. And yeah, it's, I totally agree. I think we do it far too much, far too much.
I mean, was it the shotgun call in the red zone when they actually started to run it in out the shotgun from like a yard out or something, and you've got a guy who's 6'5", 235 pounds, and yet you decide to actually drop into shotgun and actually have a tackle for a loss on that play where we could have actually scored, and the game probably would have actually taken a more of a Buffalo favor for the rest of the game. And it's just one that, okay, it was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning when it happened. You're there wanting to just scream the house down, rip your hair out, and all that. But you just look at it and you're thinking, is it the play calling? Why couldn't Josh then call an audible? Because that's what Tyrod did on the in the first quarter, right at the end of the first quarter. He apparently audibled on what would have been probably a power run by Barkley to get in for the touchdown. He audibled out, and they actually failed to convert, and it went to half time,
which in the end probably cost them the game.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think. I'm looking at obviously the stats or the rankings through all the weeks on there, and this week they were fifth in the league in yards per game, second in yards per play, 12th in rush yards per game, and we'll come on to that in a second. And rush yards per play, 10th. Pass yards per game, 8th. Pass yards per play, 4th. Sacks and pass attempts, 4. We gave up no sacks. Yep. Red zone, 3rd down, up and 2nd. And points per game, 3rd. That's all for that week.
I mean, yeah. It's... Stats will tell you one thing, won't they? The eye test, to me, I mean, we struggled big time. And when we got going, I think we looked okay. But just watching us trying to move the ball at the moment, it just looks like nothing is easy. Nothing's easy. We're quick three and outs, really easy. When we are hanging on barely against a team that we should, that they're 1-5 for crying out loud. This team are getting their ass handed to them every week. Who's got in a worse position? I mean, we say that the backup quarterback, actually, we say in backup, I mean, Tyrod Taylor to me looks every bit as good as Daniel Jones does, if not better.
Yeah.
Actually, that doesn't look as though that hurt the Giants in any way, but he was playing behind a paper mache offensive line. There's more to this than meets the eye. What they need to get to the better of is we are a better team, as Josh Allen alluded to. The team offensively, the team that we've shown last week and on Sunday, we are a better team than that. And what we need to work out is how we get off to a start. I don't understand how this team goes from the team that scored 2 touchdowns in the first 2 drives against the Dolphins to suddenly the last 2 weeks, we don't look as though we can even get a first down.
Yeah, no, so exactly.
What's happened? What's gone on? What's changed? What is like this to me isn't just like suddenly your form's gone out the window, because we know that this team can do it, but there are things going on here that we will probably never know or understand. But yeah, they need to figure out, because if we'd been playing anyone reasonable in this game, we'd have lost.
Yeah, and we've got those type of matchups coming up in the next later part of the season. I mean, obviously, We'll talk about the Patriots in a minute. We'll preview, but obviously you've got Tampa, we've got Kansas, we've got Miami again. And we've got some really good defenses coming up and very good teams altogether. So this had to be your win game. Because if we had lost this, I think you'd almost kind of say, yeah, the AFC East is not going through Buffalo this year. But
well, we'd be 3-3 if they knew what they were doing from the 1 yard line at the end of either half, we'd be 3-3.
Mm.
We'd be like, in the AFC, 3-3, you're questionably for even making the playoffs at that point.
Yeah.
And it's not about the teams that have got the really good defenses that we're coming up against, because we're struggling against poor defenses at the moment. Mm. What we need to worry about is the teams that are coming in that can do it offensively, because we've now, the last 2 weeks, we've played against two teams who offensively aren't great.
And
the defense nearly bailed us out against the Jags, but just couldn't. They ran out of steam in the end. They did bail us out against the Giants because they kept them to 9 points. If we come up against a good offensive team, like we've got the Bengals in 3 weeks, if they start clicking and our offense plays like it does, the Bengals will blow us away.
Yeah.
We absolutely need to figure this out and quick. We've got two games coming up. And I think it's kind of, there's two games in our next six that are really tough games.
Yeah.
We need to figure out sharpish what we're doing offensively, and whether that is an overhaul of the run game to get that going a little bit more. Work out like how we distribute these targets out a little bit. Work out a way to get Dalton Kincaid into that more, you know, like slot safety blanket role that he can be. Or what do we do to get Dawson Knox going? How do we get someone like Deontay Harty more into the offense? There's a lot of questions with the offense at the moment, and it looks a million miles away from a team that's challenging from a Super Bowl.
I think looking at it, I mean, we're just trying to figure out the best way we can regarding that. I mean, when you talk about the run game, we've got a decent run game. We've got James Cook, who looks explosive. Obviously, we only ran 27. We had 27 year attempts for 128 yards, but they need to look at it a bit more in that run game. I mean, we've seen the explosiveness. I mean, James Cook had 3 10-plus-yard runs in there.
Yep.
Octavius Murray had at least 2 of 10. Obviously, with speedy wishes to Damian Harris.
Looks like he's going to be okay, doesn't it? Which is great, but it's, you can see, and I don't think you can overplay kind of the interception and what happened towards the end of the first half based on what had gone on. When they've just seen one of their teammates carted off to hospital again so soon, like after what happened to Damar Hamlin, I think that was kind of we just needed to get in at halftime there.
I mean,
it didn't cost us.
I'm looking at, obviously, the stats a lot more on here. And you could see, and this has actually surprised me, that they got the most out of James Cook by running him to the right side of the offensive line. So running between Brown and Torrance. And that seems to be a theme throughout the season.
Yeah.
That he's actually played better in that style.
Okay.
And it's just a way of trying to get it out there and actually get him into a key position, because he is a game breaker.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that I like the fact that we've got him, who's a bit more of your, like you said, the game breaker style. Why we keep persisting with that stupid shotgun draw run where he's to the left of Josh and he's almost starting from a standing start 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and it feels like it works once every 20 times it's called, and yet Ken Dorsey insists on continuing to play it. It's a horrendous play, and it needs to be thrown in the bin. Yeah. He needs to be like put in better positions to be successful. And when he doesn't, we've still got Murray and Harris that are averaging over 4 yards a carry on significantly less carries. Yeah, much less, like 40 less per player. But they offer you something different, and I do think there's probably an element of whoever's got the hot hand should get it. James Cook from the first four games when he was in the top five running backs in the league. Let's go back to that. Let's go back to those games where he was getting over 100 yards. Put him in a position to be successful. What does he like doing? What type of runs are suit his skill set? Because that shotgun draw play is just not the one.
Yeah, I think he's more suited for that, for the under center, for that on him, because then he's building up that head of speed. As soon as Josh takes a snap, he's already running and actually already up to speed. When he's in shotgun, he's waiting, and he has to then, as soon as he gets the ball, he then has to put on the jets on there. But I'm looking at all his rushes this season. He's most yards per attempt or yards gained is when he runs towards the left end. He's at 6.9 yards per attempt. When he runs to between right guard or towards Torrance, he's at 5.3 yards per attempt. When he runs at right tackle, so behind Spencer Brown, he's at 14.3 yards per attempt.
And yet, that's probably the least that he's doing.
And he's got more of his first downs in his 10-plus yard runs come when he's running towards the left end with right tackle and right guard, the next two on there. So it seems like the best way to get Cook really doing is actually getting him out on the zone rather than actually get him shooting up the middle.
Yeah,
because we've started to become a good pin and pull cut team. Deion Dawkins comes along and actually pulls. The guards actually come along and pull, and actually springs Cook. And O'Torrance has had probably one of the best games he's had when he's been up against that defensive line of Leonard Williams and is it Dexter Lawrence? It is Dexter Lawrence, isn't it?
Yeah,
and he actually managed to hold his own and actually spring Cook. So you've got that direction where he's actually more successful. They've just got to actually do it more from under center. I think that's probably where you're going to get the best out of James Cook. So if he's, I mean, with Murray, he's more of a bruiser. So yeah, stick him in the shotgun. He'll actually smash it up the middle. With James Cook, you really want to get him up to speed so he actually can hit the edge and hit the seams.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of think that he would be best utilized. And it goes back to the play calling. Go more under center because it gives Josh Allen a lot more because he can scramble out. He can actually, we can do play action and it sets Cook up.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And then they.
and then we
it's,
just.
It's baffling, man. It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can, we'll talk about defense and I mean, the one guy that really stood out on limited plays, obviously, is AJ Epenesa, and someone must have lit a fire up his ass this season.
Yeah, has looked much better.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's played well against. I'm looking at PFF. Obviously, I do that majority of the time. His pass rush was at 90.8. His overall defense was actually 89.6 for that game.
Yeah, it's good.
And then really good. obviously you've then got Russo, you've got Leonard Floyd, who seems like a man on the mission as well. He's on 7 sacks. I think he's what, near the top of the sack list or near enough on that. And he only joined us in what, July, August?
Yeah. What a great pickup he's been.
And then obviously you've still got Von Miller and obviously Russo.
Yeah.
So you've got a decent team. I mean, you've got guys that really are helping out.
Yeah, massive shout out in this game to Taron Johnson, who was unbelievable performance. 19 total tackles, 15 total tackles, 9 of which were solo. Obviously, the crucial pass breakup at the end of the game may or may not have been helped by the fact that he was grabbing hold of the Darren Waller's jersey, but let's not worry about that. But the whole game, he was everywhere. It was unbelievable, and someone who for who was his first proper game for us, Dorian Williams, who I was really skeptical of the pick, and I don't think you'd have seen a huge amount of him had it not been for the injury to Matt Milano. But I thought he made a couple of mistakes, but you know, rookie in a difficult position is always going to. But I thought on the whole, consider he was given his chance and he more than took it. Tyrod Dodson apparently was more than pissed off at the end of the game. stormed out the locker room after the game, clearly frustrated by his lack of involvement in it. But Dorian Williams played well. And
I think 10 tackles, 6 solo and 1 quarterback hit on there. And obviously that's where you kind of you wish worried who's going to actually get who's going to replace Milano. And I kind of see why they started to play Dorian as an outside linebacker more, because he's got that coverage, he's got that speed to actually that's almost a Milano type clone in his speed.
Well, I think when we drafted him, that was the question, wasn't it? It was kind of like we had Matt Milano, we drafted Dorian Williams, and the argument was, well, why have we drafted this guy when he's more of an outside linebacker rather than a middle linebacker, which is what we needed to replace with the players that we'd lost.
Yeah.
Now, as it turns out, Terrell Bernard has come in and actually outperformed what I ever thought he would be able to do as middle linebacker. I think he's looked surprisingly excellent. He has been one of our better players, and massive props to him for how he's performed. So with then the fact that you get Milano's injury, actually picking up Dorian Williams has been a huge blessing in disguise, because he is a better outside linebacker, and now that's exactly the position that we needed to fill. So
I mean,
great that those two played well. Whether how they'll play when we're talking about teams like Cincinnati and Kansas City, and how's Dorian Williams going to line up against Travis Kelce, that's going to be a different test altogether against Tyrod Taylor and the Giants.
Yeah.
But, you know, ain't no better way of getting like exposure to it and getting him and making gains and improvements than actually playing in games.
I think that's
all we can hope for. And hopefully that's what's going to happen with Kyer Elam as well.
Yeah. I mean, you looking for the first 6 weeks, these are the stats between Tremaine Edmonds and Terrell Bernard through 6 weeks. Tackles for Tremaine Edmonds, 54. Terrell Bernard, 57. Sacks for Edmonds, 0. Sacks for Bernard, 2. Tackle for a loss for Edmonds, 3. 5 for Bernard. Fumble recovery, 1 for Edmonds, 2 for Bernard. Interceptions, 0 for Edmonds, 2 for Bernard. Pass breakups, 1 for Edmonds, 2 for Bernard. As a second-year guy on his rookie contract against a guy who's been playing for, 6 years now, was actually on, 85 million pounds over 6 years or 5 years or something?
Yeah.
And you've got that production already, and it's going to be, we're hoping that Milano is back. They haven't really ruled him out as season ending, so there is a chance, but
I'd be amazed if he comes back.
But I think the only other thing really to look at on there is really the defensive backs. I mean, both Benford and Elam played 100% of the snaps.
Yeah. But is that more because we've got no one else?
Potentially, yeah. I can't remember how many Dane Jackson had, if Dane Jackson did actually play in that game or not.
He didn't play at all. No, he was injured.
So, yeah, so you've got that. And, yeah, they held their own. I mean, yeah, Tyrod, I did say that he was a good serviceable quarterback. He'd actually kept it there. But you still need to worry now with going forward, because say you've got Tampa Bay next week or a couple weeks time, yeah, who have Evans and Goodwin.
Yeah,
you've got obviously the Patriots. I say we'll go on to now. They don't really have anything, but they can still hurt you in a way. And then you've got the Eagles, you've got the Dolphins, you've got the Chiefs with their explosive offenses, and it's just kind of worried, just hoping that these guys actually get up to speed and actually now start focusing a lot more and having that uninterrupted game time, where if they play another 100% snaps, especially Elam against the Patriots and maybe against the Bucks, gives him more of that confidence, because everyone still raves about him in the locker room. The fact that he's always first in, last out, he still has the notebook and all that. There's still flaws in his game, but you still see the bright sparks that was last year. You're just trying to figure out how he needs to click it for this year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Christian Benford, with him being there and fit, he was our starter going into the season, so he's still one of our starters. So if he's there, great.
Yeah.
Whether it's Dane Jackson's still questionable for this game, there's a bit of me that would still like to see Kyrie Elam out there again, getting another game, getting exposed to it. His second half was far better than his first half.
Yeah.
Our quarterbacks are still picking on him a little bit, and there's still mistakes that he's making. But, I mean, we spoke about it all off-season, where we were like, why isn't Kyrie Elam getting any chances? And then you saw why he wasn't getting any chances with a couple of the performances, but he's getting the reps, he's getting the practice now with the firsts. So this is his opportunity. By all accounts, this isn't an attitude problem. This is a getting used to the scheme problem, getting like making sure that he can fit. And this is going to be make or break for him, probably for his NFL career, as to whether he's going to be a bust or whether he's going to be someone that's successful. He needs to have a good game against the Patriots, because the week after that, like you said, it's Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and not a brilliant Bucks team by any stretch of the imagination, especially when Baker Mayfield's throwing the ball. But if good Baker turns up, there's they've got a chance to be a reasonably strong team. And we need to work out what we're doing. I personally think as soon as Dane Jackson's fit, he comes back in it's Dane Jackson. I'd like to see us trade for someone. I think we need to go out and get a, you know, cornerback 1/2 to play alongside Christian Benford.
There's talk of Jalen Johnson from the Bears.
Yeah. Anyone like that, I think would be a good fit. There are guys out there that would be available. I was banging the table for a linebacker. Let's see if Dorian Williams and Bernard can do it. And if they can, great. But I think we need a corner. I can't see Dane Jackson / Kyrie Elam and Christian Benford keeping out the Bengals. I just can't.
Yeah. Let's talk before we go on to, we're going to preview the Patriots now. We're just going to quickly go over our review on the two players to watch. Now, Robin had, who did he say he had? He had Dawson Knox and Greg Russo.
Yeah.
There's two, it's interesting to see. I mean, I expected a bit more from, did he have Russo? Or did I have Russo? I had Russo. He had Dorian Williams. That's the one.
He had Dorian Williams, who I thought more than held his own.
Yeah, And Dawson Knox, as we said earlier, it's about the scheming and getting involved. I mean, he can get there. We know he's that serviceable, but again, it's a case, is it scheming that way? Is Josh actually going through every single progression, or is he just, as I say, focusing directly on Diggs, maybe looking at another way and knowing Diggs is always going to be open to actually hold the safety in place? But
I know that they're like bestie mates and stuff, and they all go to Sabres games together and everything, but he had 6 targets. He only brought in 3 of them. It always, just when he's passing it to Dawson Knox, it always just looks that little bit more uncomfortable and that little bit rushed. And there's two catches or 2 throws in 2 weeks that he's had that have either not been quite on target or that Dawson Knox should bring in.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man, it just doesn't look like it's a natural fit. And I know that I have friends who after this game were like, I'm done with Dawson Knox. I don't think he's ever going to be that reliable pass catcher for someone who earns the money that he earns against the cap. I am not at all convinced that he justifies it from a receiving perspective. Far better blocker than Dalton Kincaid is now. But Christ alive, please God, start giving Dalton Kincaid the targets that Dawson Knox is getting.
Yeah. I mean, you had on your one, you had, Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. Solid performance, I thought. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, at time of recording, we didn't know that he was in concussion protocol. He's now out of concussion protocol. So, can I pick him again for next week?
No, not this week.
Damn it!
And your defense was who was your defense? I can't remember now.
Was it? It was Jordan Phillips.
That's the one.
Jordan Phillips, who basically had to. The reason I picked Jordan Phillips was because he was kind of. He was the one who was stepping into that role as on the defensive line.
Mm.
He didn't trouble the stat sheet too much.
No.
Like one total tackle, didn't perform overly well, but didn't have to do a huge amount more to keep that defense the offense in check. But I would have liked to have seen more from him.
Yeah, and I had James Cook and I had Greg Rousseau. So I was hit and miss on both of those.
Yeah.
I was hit on the Cook one once they finally got him going, and then obviously not so much of a hit with Rousseau. He didn't really get the pressure that you expected of a guy who's up against a rotation at right tackle. Yeah. Had Evan Neal actually go out for a few and all that, and you would expect him to carry on his thing. I mean, he hurried, no doubt. There's no way he hurried and actually got a couple of quarterback hits on there, which helped this defense. But for an offensive line of the Giants that gave up so much, you expect him to have a bit more of an impact on the sack game.
Yeah.
But That is that. We'll now go on to the 1-5 Patriots. I can't believe I'm actually saying that. 1-5 Patriots.
It's good, isn't it? It's good. Bill Belichick's getting sacked at the end of this year.
Well, and then as I said, we know it's all the whole Belichick and Brady who made the Patriots.
Well, as it turns out, it was actually just Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As it turns out, he's not a system quarterback. Bill Belichick's a system head coach.
Yeah. And I just don't think there's anything, as much as I hate to say this, and we say this every week when we've played the rubbish teams, like obviously the Giants last week, there's nothing really to worry about for me in this New England offense. I mean, Mac Jones is Mac Jones.
Yeah, dreadful.
He is just terrible.
Looks like the least athletic person you've ever seen. Not even player, just human. he's like, I've seen people that are, that weigh 35 stone move better than he does. He's just, I don't know what it is about him. He's just all limbs. He's just dreadful.
Yeah, and they haven't really got, I mean, the only thing good really about them is probably their run game a little bit. I mean, Stevenson is a decent running back, and obviously they've got Zeke Elliott as well.
But even Ramondre Stevenson, like, looked exciting last season. This year, he's averaging, his longest run of the season is 15 yards. He's averaging 3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
It's just that it just hasn't looked anywhere near as explosive as I think people were hoping. Zeke Elliott, he's something and nothing. Yeah, there's nothing in this team that frightens me, but I'm really reluctant to say it because this is exactly what we said about the Giants, you know?
Exactly. Are we becoming overconfident?
Yes.
In the things, right, and then we've got egg on our face at the end of it.
Yeah.
In regards to it.
My worry is that this is going to be another game where defensively we should be okay. Their top wide out is Kendrick Bourne. They've got a couple of tight ends that are doing okay. Outside of that, it's, you know, there's not a huge amount for me to get worried about or excited about.
No, exactly.
If we can stop the run, I think we can keep their wide receivers in check. I can see us causing trouble to Jones, but it's whether the offense gets going. Because the one thing that the Patriots are always going to have, and they might not have huge amounts of talent, but the one thing that the Patriots are always going to be relatively good at is defense, because Bill Belichick knows how to scheme a good D.
Yeah.
Now, the players that they've got might not be phenomenal. Carl Duggar looks like a great player as safety that they picked up a couple of years ago. They've got some decent players there. Like, the cornerbacks are okay. Christian Gonzalez looks like he's a reasonably good player. But we should have more than enough. But if our offensive clicks, will win easy. If it plays like it's played in the last two games, it'll be a struggling. Especially, it's never easy going to Foxborough. We've kind of had our way with the Patriots in the last couple of seasons, and it's been lovely. And I really hope that continues. But we need to make sure that, well, we need to figure out what's going on offense in order for this to be comfortable. I'm just like, once bitten, like, once you can get away with the second time it happens, you're a little bit like, oh, maybe this is actually us. And I'm really reluctant to go into another game being like, oh, this is going to be the game that we put it all together. We're going to be great again. We're far better than this team, because, you know, we were this close, and for the benefit of the recording, I put my fingers really close together to show that there's very little gap there, and one dodgy offensive call. And like, what makes me laugh about that, by the way, sorry to go to nip back to the Giants for a second, everyone assumes that, oh, it's a defensive pass interference. Everyone assumes that means that they would have scored had it been called. You know, they still had to run the play. It was still, would have still had to run a play again. And there's no guarantee that they'll get in, but that we're this close to being a 3-3 team, and that's we're this close to being two wins better than this Patriots team. With two losses to teams that are pretty awful in 2 weeks, and like, the Jags are okay, but
I think
they're not fantastic by any stretch of the imagination. And the fact that we've lost to them, we lost to the offense of the Jets. That's some bad defeats. And
then again, you saw how the Jets actually played last week.
The NFL's weird. Yeah. This is a point that's been made to me. You know, sometimes you've got like weird results happen, and you've got in a week where you've got the 49ers losing and the Eagles losing, and the Bengals very nearly losing, and us very nearly losing, we've survived a game where we've played really badly and yet we've managed to win. And that's what champions do, right? You know, that's always the line it's about, isn't it? Champions win games where they don't play well. The big difference here is the fact that the Niners were playing the Browns, who was an elite defense, and the Eagles were playing the Jets, that is an elite defense. That's two of the best five defenses in the league. We were playing the Giants, who, like, basically, like, you know, I feel like I could make, like, get a run at the roster on their defense, and we squeaked through. If we'd have been playing this game against the Browns, would have beaten us this week.
I think the one thing we've got to look out for, and this is the injury report, especially for the Patriots, because today on their, and we recorded this on Wednesday, they didn't have Trent Brown participating. They didn't have guard Riley Reiff practicing in limited participation. They had the center David Andrews not practicing, Cole Strange not practicing, Mike Onwuehu not practicing, and their offensive line is horrendous in blocking at the moment. I mean, if Brown's not good to go, then they're going to have Vedrian Lowe.
Oh, good. I'm a big fan of his.
And this season, he started, he drafted last year by Minnesota in the sixth round.
Right.
He's played five games and given up four sacks, two quarterback hits, 21 quarterback hurries.
It sounds like Spencer Brown's first couple of seasons.
and then in that, you've got, as guard, you've got Antonio Maffey, who, again, his stats, he's played all six games. He's actually given up four sacks, one hit, 15 quarterback hurries, and all that. So that's the one thing, and that's we've got to look out for. If this offensive line is missing some key players, you've got to look at the likes of Russo, Leonard Floyd, even the interior actually getting up there and causing a lot more issues, because Mac Jones, say, he's not a very good quarterback under pressure.
You didn't need to add under pressure to that. You could have just left it as he's not a very good quarterback.
But it's true.
You're exactly right. He's not. Exactly. I mean, this is a game where the Bills at the start of the season, you'd look at it and you'd go, we are going to put 30 points on this team. And even more so now, when you look at how the Patriots are, Ramondre Stevenson is questionable. I didn't realize. Demario Douglas, who's one of their best two wideouts since stats wise this season, is questionable for this game.
Juju Smith-Schuster is as well. Christian Barmore, Davon Godchaud, Carl Duggar, Sean Wade, Jabril Peppers.
Yeah,
they've got a lot there, which is going to be interesting to watch at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively we'll have more than enough. It's whether offensively we can get it going. How bad is the injury that Josh Allen's got? We saw what happened to him last season when he had some kind of knock, and it really, like, it made our offense function far worse for a period of time. He's questionable. He'll definitely play, I think. I don't any danger that he won't start the game. But clearly it can't be too bad an injury, because after he did it, or supposedly after he did it, he's seen plowing into defensive linemen that are going after our players with the elbow with the shoulder.
Yeah.
So clearly can't be too bad, but he alluded after the game that he was banged up a little bit. I think I want him to be on full bed rest for the week and just have a nice hot water bottle and just like have a nice rest for the week and not have to practice, and just generally like just make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see. We have to snap out of this, like, managing to not do anything until the final quarter of games. Because if we keep getting off to this kind of start, we're going to come unstuck very soon.
Yeah, 100%. And it makes it interesting that how many, this, and this is a fact stat that I've actually got, Josh Allen's only been sacked twice this season.
Amazing.
And yeah, we were going on about how this offensive line is actually would be tested a lot more. And the only two people that have given up a sack is Connor McGovern and Spencer Brown.
Yeah. And if you'd have told me before the season that Spencer Brown would have only given up one sack this season, I wouldn't have believed you.
I mean, we've had 7 quarterback hits, so he's been kept healthy.
Yeah.
In there, I mean, Mitch Morse has given up 2 quarterback hits. Spencer Brown's given up 2 quarterback hits.
Yeah.
Van Der Mark has given up 1. So Dawkins, and so's Torrance.
Yeah, I think the changes we've made to guards has made a massive difference this season, hasn't it? It's clearly helped with Ryan Bates going, and his name escapes me, whoever the hell was playing our left guard last season.
It was Roger Saffold.
Yeah, getting him out. Thank God for that. Connor McGovern and Osiris Torrance have made a real difference, I think, both to keeping Allen clean in the pocket and helping our run game. Spencer Brown has looked better this year than he has done before. Mitch Morse has managed to not get concussed yet this season, which has been a big plus. And he's missed multiple time. And just keeping that offensive line healthy and together, I do think is helping.
Yeah.
But it's more about what we're doing once Josh Allen's got the ball in his hands.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think and it's good. I mean, you look at it, obviously this offensive line, Torrance has been probably the star on that for a rookie, and say not giving up one hit all season. Got Josh hurried a bit, but Josh can escape it, and no sacks on there. I mean, I'm just trying to look at the stats. I think he's the best rookie offensive guard at the moment. Yeah. I think in terms of sacks and in essence quarterback hits. And you're looking at the likes of who haven't given up sacks. You've got obviously Jason Kelce, Quinton Nelson, Trey Smith, Joe Tooney, Frank Ragnow, Hajelt Froholt of Arizona. You've got those type of names that haven't given up a sack, obviously Deion Dawkins, and you've got a second round rookie giving it his best shot. And
it's been amazing.
I think all the misses that Brandon Bean's had in the second round, Cody Ford being one of them, I think he's got a steal in this last draft with Torrance.
Yeah, and I think what's nice about it is the fact that I was convinced that Ryan Bates was going to win the job.
Mm.
Because that's just what Bean and McDermott do. They just go with the veteran. There's a real lack of trust for rookies, I feel. But his play in preseason, and a lot of people talk about preseason and how it's pointless and get rid of it. Preseason showed to me how Osiris Torrance was ready to start for this team, and he's taken his chance. And I'm delighted that he's been given it, whereas others maybe haven't as much. And I kind of hope that it maybe steers Bean and McDermott to having the balls to play some of these guys who are a bit more untested and unproven, to give them a little bit more of an opportunity.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think the only other thing we just now got to worry about is the offensive play calling, and hopefully have more under center and a bit more play action rather than these stupid shotgun plays, when especially on the runs, and how this, and just giving this defense a lot more of a boost against a rubbish quarterback in there. I mean, if Benford and Elam, if Jackson's not good to go, and judging by the thing, he was a limited practice with a foot. Obviously, Elam was limited practice with an ankle as well.
I know, it's ridiculous. That's what we need to trade for a corner. We need to go. We need it to get it done. If nothing else, it's for depth.
Yeah,
we need somebody.
But I think it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And I think who are your, obviously Robin's not going to be involved this week. with the, he probably didn't answer the message. That's why I said to him,
because it's like three in the morning, mate.
Yeah.
Bless him.
who are your two to look out for? One offense and one defense.
Oh, so
you can't have Kincaid and you can't have Jordan Phillips.
So I can't have Kincaid even though he didn't play.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So let's go for Latavius Murray.
Okay.
I think that his style of running, I think, might just suit playing against the Patriots. I would have gone Damien Harris against his former team, but I don't think it's looking likely that he'll be available for this game. So I think Latavius Murray is going to be quite interesting. I fancy him to do okay. Defensively, I can't go Jordan Phillips again, can I? Not that I'd want to necessarily. No. let's go with, who's going to have a big game? Let's go with Micah Hyde.
Okay.
Micah Hyde. Safety. A couple of interceptions.
Yeah. Okay. Mine on defense is the other safety, Jordan Poyer. Nice. I think with him,
they can have interception each. There you go.
Yeah. With him, I've read that he's on pace at the moment this season to have one of his worst statistical seasons as a Buffalo Bill.
Right.
He's actually the quarterback rating allowed when he's been targeted is 102.1%.
Wow.
He's allowed 124 yards at 17.7 yards per reception. He's actually allowed 7 completed off of 11 targets. Obviously, he's not given up a touchdown, but hasn't defended a pass, hasn't had a tackle for a loss or an interception. Only 24 tackles through 6 games.
It's not been a good start.
No, and I think this is going to be a game for him that he actually can get his mojo back. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, fine.
And with Mac and how rubbish he is and how easy he likes to throw his interceptions, I think he's thrown 7 interceptions already.
Especially into the middle of the pitch as well. It's kind of like where you would expect those safeties to be lurking.
Exactly, and he's the one on defense for me. Offense, I can't choose James Cook.
It's kind of slim pickings at the minute, isn't it? Where are we going? It's...
Do you know what? I'm going Dalton Kincaid.
What a shock. I knew you were going to do that.
Well, I could have gone back to Gabe Davis. But I think
it's too easy just to go, okay, one to watch. I think Stephon Diggs will have a good game.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I mean, I've gone offensive line twice. I was thinking of Spencer Brown on there, but I just think it is a Kincaid. Is a time for hopefully they can get Kincaid involved a lot bit more. And Allen loves passing down the middle and on the short to medium yardage. What was it? I had it up here just a minute ago. I've lost it now. Kincaid was actually he had got a quarterback rating of like 94% down the middle. And we've seen what he can do in this limited snaps. We've seen that he is actually serviceable and why he was rated highly, that we jumped up ahead of the Cowboys to actually get him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think give him a chance. Let the guy play. You know,
he needs the
targets. Give him Dawson Knox his targets. Let's take maybe one or two away from Stephon Diggs and let's give Dalton Kincaid like 8 or 9 targets and let's see what he does. Because I'm convinced that he can be a proper weapon for us. We just need to get him more involved.
Especially in the red zone, because in the red zone, Buffalo scoring inside the red zone is the second highest in the NFL with 75% through 6 games. And since week 4, they've led the league in that category with 91%. So when you've got a guy with like Kincaid who pretty much doesn't drop and actually has shown that he can be a top tight end, a top target for Allen, you've got to get him involved a little bit more.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yes, and the sooner the better.
Yes, and so let's go predictions.
I'm not going to go as big as I have done in previous games because I'm sick of looking like an idiot. I'm going to say 24-14 Buffalo.
Do you think they're going to score 14 points?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. The Giants nearly scored, should have scored more than 14 points on us.
True.
And they've got, like, they're every bit as bad as the Patriots. I can see this defense has got a couple of touchdowns against it. And normally you wouldn't worry about that. You think if we're keeping a team to 14 points, then brilliant. That's going to be absolutely more than enough. But at the minute, I'm not confident it is because we only start scoring halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah, I'm going. Again, I want to go big.
have you learnt nothing?
I've learnt nothing. I don't learn very much when I go big. I just don't think they're going to score that many points. I just think that with the issues they have on offense and trying to get some momentum going on there, I can see us smothering them a little bit more. And say if they have issues on the offensive line, I could see that defense actually really suffocating them. I'm going to go 28-7.
I'd be delighted.
They get a score on that one.
Okay.
And there's one other thing I want to add. It's not related to the Bills or Patriots game. I just want to put out there, obviously, you see on Twitter and all that, all these Dolphin fans chirping up, right? Do you know what their strength of schedule is so far in the six games they've played and the strength of victory?
I would imagine it's pretty weak.
Their strength of victory is 0.172, with the number of wins for those teams totaling 5.
Yeah.
Their strength of schedule, 0.257, with the number of wins for that so far, 9 wins. And 4 of those have come from Buffalo, yeah, who are at strength of victory at 500, with 12 wins their opponents got, and at the moment, 0.528. on strength of schedule, with 19 games that teams they faced have actually got win-wise.
Yeah. Well, there's only one team so far. There's only one 5-1 team so far that's beaten another 5-1 team, and that's the Lions.
Yeah.
You look at the team, the only time that they've played against a team that's any good is us, and we absolutely hammered them. The Chargers don't look like they're anything special, and they only beat them by 2 points. I think their defense can absolutely be got at. The game on against the Eagles is going to be a brilliant one.
Yeah, so they've got the next 3 games: Eagles, Patriots, Chiefs, and even against the Patriots, they only scored 24 and gave up 17.
Yeah.
On that one. Then you've got the Jets, who are stingy after the Raiders. So they've got some stingy games. Yeah. Ravens towards the end and after.
Jets, Cowboys, Ravens, Bills to finish. That's tough. Yeah.
And Ravens in there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not easy. I mean, I think the Dolphins are a very good team offensively. I think they'll score a lot of points, and what they're doing is flashy. They've obviously lost a chain for a period of time when he's gone on IR for a little bit, which it will hurt them. Raheem Mostert still looks like, all of a sudden, he looks like he's this absolute beast, but I can't see that lasting. And Tua still hasn't had his like annual concussion yet. That'll happen at some stage where he'll go out for a period of time, and they won't be the same team. When they come up against a team that's got a really good defense, I think they'll a team that can score on them. I do think they'll struggle more. The Eagles game is going to be brilliant. Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. So that, do you have anything else to say before we wrap up?
Last thing is just a big props. Wasn't your best game, Tyler, but you've got big fans over in this country, and we believe in you. Keep going. And I should have picked you for my player to watch, as you're going to have a big bounce back game. I'm saying Tyler Bass for the win. You're still in my fantasy team, Tyler. I still love you, so keep plugging on. You're still the man.
Good. And I'm going to say is just keep following all of us. Keep interacting. It's still a marathon, not a sprint. With this, we win ugly. We win ugly. We win good. We win good. A win's a win at the end of the day. We're not to panic right now. The East still goes through Buffalo, in my opinion. Whether it changes or not is another question. And yeah, just keep following, liking us on all socials. And for Mark, this is Matt, straight off the bed, as in Justin Pugh ways, straight off the bed, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills!
You know anything about work? No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.